Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Will clerk please take final roll?
33 members present.
Representative Eliason. Clerk, please show Representative Eliason is present. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, no one is excused from the call today.
The prayer today is by Pastor Milton Hunt of the Resurrection of Lutheran Church. Will the members please rise for their prayer?
Let us pray. God of our fathers, whose almighty hand leads forth in beauty all the starry band of shining worlds and splendor through the skies, our grateful songs before your throne arise. We pause in remembrance of those citizens of Alaska who have fought in the battles and wars of our United States of America. We honor especially those who gave their lives in the Spanish-American War, World War I and World War II, the Korean conflict and the Vietnam War. As they died that we might have freedom, help us to exercise our republican form of government in this democracy. Pour forth blessing and refreshment to these representatives as they continue the toil in this legislative session. In the name of him who rose again from the dead, Jesus the Christ, amen.
Representative Barnes. There's no objection. Prayer will be spread in the journal.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
It's possible that in the journal Republican could be spelled with a small r.
I think the chief clerk always uses perfect spelling. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, could the record show me being present?
Record, please show that Representative Phillips was present. I think the chief clerk has the members who walked in late. Will the chief clerk please certify as the correctness of the previous day's journal?
Mr. Speaker, there's a correction to the journal for the 133rd day. On page 1670 under engrossment, delete Senate Bill 111, amended House. It's on reconsideration today. There's also a correction to a previous journal on page 1645. There was an incorrect title on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 59. It will be corrected today. With these corrections, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 133rd day.
Representative, House, please stand at ease.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 133rd day, as corrected, be approved as certified by the chief clerk.
There is no objection. The journal, as corrected, will be approved. Are there guests for introduction to the House this morning? Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B is my wife, who you've already been introduced to, but along with her this morning is our son, Dean Barnes.
The further guests for introduction this morning. Messages from the governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate. Representative Hurlburt.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests, a friend of mine from Sleep Mute just walked in Gallery A, Chris Smith.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the Senate concurred in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 59, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 59, establishing the Delta II Agricultural Development Project and providing for an effective date. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 115 Rules, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 115 Rules, Civil Liability of Providers of Intoxicating Liquor. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 303, Arson Information, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 303. The Senate concurred in the House amendment to Senate Bill 418, amended, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 418, relating to the lease of state land to to nonprofit cooperative associations and providing for an effective date. The Senate has passed committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 346, fishing area markers, and it is returned. This bill has been sent to enrolling. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 118, relating to rivers, lakes, streams, and other bodies of water in the state, effective date with the following amendment. This is on your desk, but there's an incorrect title on it. It says 188, and it should say 118. And so committee substitute for House Bill 118, amended Senate, is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed House Bill number 163, beverage dispensary and retail liquor licenses, with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for House Bill 163, amended Senate, title change, relating to amendments to Title IV, and is transmitting same for consideration. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill 217, finance, making supplemental appropriations to the Department of Environmental Conservation, effective date with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 217, making an appropriation to the Department of Public Safety for emergency medical services, effective date. The Senate has failed to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill number 315, search and rescue, and creating a search and rescue fund, effective date. Namely, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 315, Rules Amended House, Investment of State Funds, effective date, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendments. In the event the House fails to recede, the President has appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the above bills: Senator Sackett, Chairman; Senator Hackney; Senator Curtula. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Senate Bill number 324, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Legislative Council, for the Interim Committee on Services to the Elderly, an act amending the formula for property tax equivalency payments for senior citizens and providing for an effective date.
Hess.
Senate Bill number 463, by Bradley.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, we be brief, please.
House, please end it. Will House please come back to order? Senate Bill 324, which is just read in, does have a fiscal note, so it will be referred to the Finance Committee rather than the Hess Committee. Clerk, please read the messages from the Senate.
Senate Bill number 463, by Bradley and Curtula, an act relating to tariffs for the transportation of agricultural products.
Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
There's a communication from the Committee on Judiciary on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 86. It included the Alaska State Commission on Human Rights among the agencies to be given a sunset review in 1980. This portion of the bill was vetoed by the governor. The Judiciary Committee has instead conducted a performance review adhering to the intent and standards of AS 4466. This letter is 4 pages long, and it will be printed in today's supplement. The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 511 amended, relating to the criminal laws of the state, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee. With House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 511, and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Martin, Barnes, and Anderson. Signing no recommendation, O'Connell. Signing do pass if amended, Parr. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 511 amended has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Bill 223 amended, Homestead Entry, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 223, and recommends that it do pass, and further recommends that it be referred to the Finance Committee. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurred in by Halford, Fuller, Carney, Miles, and Chatterton. Cotton signed do pass, intend to amend. Jaroff signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 223 amended has no further referral.
Senate Bill 223 will be referred to the Finance Committee.
The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 569 amended, relating to the State Commission for Human Rights, under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman. Signing do pass, Phillips and Buchholz. Signing do not pass unless amended, Anderson and Brown. Signing do pass if amended, Malone and Parr. Signing no recommendation, O'Connell, Barnes, and Martin. Senate Bill 569 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 10, a special appropriation for the Student Scholarship Loan Program, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 10 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, signing DuPass, Meekins, Moss, and Guy. No recommendations, Smith, Montgomery, Schaefer, Freeman, and Rogers. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 10 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 125, Multipurpose Youth Centers, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 125, Finance, and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing DuPass, Schaefer, Guy, Moss, Rogers, and McKinnon. No recommendation, Freeman and Haugen. House Bill 125 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction to citations and resolutions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, reference of House bills?
I have no bills, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Bill 651 by Buchholz, Parker, Cotton, and Malone, an act establishing the Alaska Community College System and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 651 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 651 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Barnes, Munson, Miles, Chatterton, and Buchholz. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 651 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Hess committee substitute for House Bill 651 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing DuPass, Freeman, Moss, Guy, Schaefer, and McKinnon. Do not pass, Smith. No recommendation, Rogers. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Hess Committee substitute for House Bill number 651 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Hess Committee substitute will be adopted. Will the Chief Clerk, are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, could we have a brief at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Please come back to order. There is an amendment. Will the clerk please read the amendment to House Bill 651?
Amendment number one by Branson and Malone. Page 2, line 3. Delete semicolon and insert including foundation formula funding.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one.
There is objection. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The purpose of the amendment, I think, is pretty well expressed in the language of the amendment, and that is to include in the study possibility of foundation formula funding for all or part of community college funding. And I think that that is something that has been explored from time to time by the Post-Secondary Education Commission and would be useful information for the legislature to have.
Is there objection maintained to the amendment? Question for the House is the adoption of amendment number one. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
23 yeas, 11 nays.
Amendment number one has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 651, amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 651 will be advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill 651, amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, An act providing for a study of the community college system and establishing a legislative interim committee to assist in that study and providing for an effective date.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a brief explanation between the two bills, the original as well as the committee substitute. Mr. Speaker, when I introduced the original bill, and this is not so original, it had come before this body many times before, and got the co-sponsors that believed in the same bill. It was threatening to a lot of people. We held public hearings where people felt that this wasn't the right thing to do. And it was more or less the decision then of the people who requested the introduction of this bill and our committee to change it into the committee substitute as you see it is before you. Let me say that the interim committee that is being created in this bill is not funded. There's no money for that operation of an interim committee, and the members will come from the House, two from the House and two from the Senate, and they will be appointed by the presiding officers of both houses. There is a fiscal note of about $75,000, and that money would go into the a program that would be able to use to conduct the study through the Commission on Post-Secondary Education. The legislators who would be participating in these hearings would be there mostly as listeners. They will not be participating, and the my understanding is their travel would be paid as well as their per diem, but there wouldn't be any staff for them. Another thing that is important to know is that there will be a report to the legislature following this study. And as you have amended the bill, there will be the inclusion of the foundation formula. I'll be glad to answer some questions if you have any.
Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 651. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
26 yeas, 8 nays.
House has passed House Bill 651. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Question for the House, the effective date clause in House Bill 651. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote?
It's open. I'll open it again.
Are there further members? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
32 yeas, 2 nays.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Clerk, please read the next item.
House Bill number 968 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act adding a cost of living adjustment to maximum benefits paid as aid to families with dependent children and providing for an effective date. The Committee on HES has had House Bill 968 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 968 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Munson, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Hurlburt, Barnes, Munson, and Byrne. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 968 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Moss, Smith, Rogers, Guy, and Schaefer. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that HES committee substitute for House Bill number 968 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Finance Committee recommended adoption of the original bill and not the HES committee substitute. While I think the HES committee substitute is a good idea, the cost of the HES committee substitute is substantially higher than that of the original bill, and we were told in committee that the Budget Review Committee, Governor's Budget Review Committee, could not support the HES committee substitute. And rather than get nothing, I would prefer to at least get the cost of living adjustment that is in the original bill.
Representative Freeman, House, please stand at ease. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House, please come back to order. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was reminded during the at ease of one other problem with the Hess Committee substitute would put us out of compliance with the federal AFDC program that would entail us picking up $15 million that's now federally funded.
Representative Rogers' question, you're talking about sections 1 and 2 of the bill would put us out of compliance. No, wondering why.
Mr. Speaker, under the law, there's another section that's not addressed here, 4725.320A1, which has to do with children living with non-needy relatives. The Hess Committee did not increase the benefits to that group. As a result, you get a disparity between children living with non-needy relatives and children living with a single parent. And as a result, they were notified by the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare that this bill would put us out of compliance if we went with a Hess Committee substitute. The fiscal note on the original 968 was $2,023,000 as it was passed out of the House Finance Committee. As I recall, the fiscal note on the Hess Committee substitute is $7.8 million in general funds and $7.8 million in federal funds. I should point out the journal supplement does show the fiscal note for the Hess Committee substitute. That's in Journal Supplement 59. I'm not sure where the fiscal note on the original bill is printed, but that is $2,023,000, and that is the fiscal note that was approved by the Finance Committee.
Representative Anderson?
Would the Chief Clerk please read the Finance Committee report again?
The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 968 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Moss, Smith, Rogers, Guy, and Schaefer.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if I might have some information from anyone who has it. Under the original House bill, what does this mean in terms of income to these people? That's what we're actually looking at to some extent. We can tell from the committee substitute what it means. You know, it's from 350 to 450 maximum. But the language in the original House bill doesn't really tell us anything. Can anyone clarify that?
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The original House bill would increase benefits by 14%. That's about 40-some-odd dollars this year and would continue to raise with the increases under Title 16 of the Social Security Act each year on a cost-of-living basis. Mr. Speaker, I frankly prefer the Hess Committee substitute, but given the notification from the in testimony from Budget Management, my guess is that we'd never see the bill signed into law.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I guess one of my questions about the original bill is it says if benefits are increased, right, under this and so forth. It doesn't imply that they already have been or anything of the sort, so I guess I'm still not really clear, Mr. Rogers' answer. If this bill were to pass in its original form, does this mean that the people would already get another $40 more a month, and then, of course, next year there'd be another increase, presuming the cost of living continues to increase? Is that the answer?
Representative Rogers?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. On July 1st, the benefits would be increased. Benefits under Title 16 have increased by that 14.3%, I believe the number was. And then each year, if benefits were increased again, the AFDC benefits would be increased.
Representative Cotton. House, please stand at ease. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that my motion to adopt the committee substitute be withdrawn.
There's no objection. The motion is withdrawn. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 968 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 968 will be advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Bill number 968 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act adding a cost of living adjustment to maximum benefits paid as aid to families with dependent children and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is the final passage of House Bill 968. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
34 yeas, 2 nays.
House Bill 968 is passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill number 968 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call on final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the clerk, please, to note in the journal supplement today the Finance Committee approved fiscal note.
Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar? Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under introduction of guests.
Representative Jaroff.
In Gallery A, I have a good friend and constituent there who is also manager of our public broadcasting station there in Kodiak, KMXT, Dave Thompson.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I'd like to introduce a new friend of my wife and I sitting next to her, who just moved to Juneau from Ketchikan, Barbara May.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I serve notice of reconsideration on House Bill 968.
Your notice of reconsideration is noted. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill 1035 by the Resources Committee. An act relating to legislative approval of the disposition of state royalty oil and gas and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 1035 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 1035 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurred in by Miles, Osterbach, Elias, and Chatterton, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, and Jaroff. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Resources Committee substitute for House Bill number 1035 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. Resources Committee substitute will be adopted. Are there amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 1035 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 1035 will be advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 1035 by the Resources Committee. An act relating to legislative approval of the disposition of state royalty oil and gas and providing for an effective date.
Representative Miles.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is really a technical bill, another one of those bills that we have before us, and as a result of the Alive decision, which clouds any approval authority that the legislature has as a result of passing a resolution. The Alive decision put a cloud on anything that we pass or we approve by resolution. This merely states that approval of royalty oil and gas will be by a bill, not a resolution. There's no substantive change to the law whatsoever, except it calls for a bill instead of resolution.
question for the House, the final passage of House Bill 1035. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
House Bill 1035 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 1035 be considered as the roll call for the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, roll call on final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item.
House concurrent resolution number 66 by the Finance Committee by request, relating to implementation of the daycare assistance program by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. The Committee on Finance had House Concurrent Resolution 66 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Schaefer, Guy, Haugen, Moss, Rogers, and McKinnon. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Question before the House is the final passage of House Concurrent Resolution number 66. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
House concurrent resolution number 66 has passed the House. The clerk, please read the next item.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 367, amended by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to savings associations and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 367 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Martin, Barnes, O'Connell, Malone, and Parr. Anderson has no recommendation. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number one by the Judiciary Committee. Page 5, line 4. Insert a new section 11 to read. Sec 11. This act takes effect immediately in accordance with AS 11070C.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one.
Is there objection? There's no objection. The Judiciary Committee amendment is adopted. Representative Brown.
Just in a matter of inquiry, the way the amendment was written, it did not provide for deleting the existing section 11, at least not the way it was read. I understand that was the intention, because of course there wouldn't be two effective dates in the same bill.
Will the clerk please reread the amendment?
Amendment number one by the Judiciary Committee, page 5, line 4. Insert a new section 11 to read. Section 11. This act takes effect immediately in accordance with AS 11070C.
The House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. The amendment did replace the existing Section 11 of the bill, so the effective date would be an immediate effective date. Are there further amendments on Senate Bill 367?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 367, amended House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 367 will be advanced to third reading. Will clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 367, amended by the House by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to savings associations and providing for an effective date.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, can we get an explanation of the bill?
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The bill provides authority for the Director of the Division of Banking to issue regulations which will cover the, which will permit the Savings and Loan Associations to establish what are commonly called NOW accounts. We normally think of them when we get them from commercial banks as checking accounts. And that's really about all it does, Mr. Speaker. The mutual savings banks in the state already have this authority. It simply gives the savings and loans an opportunity to compete on equal ground with the mutual savings banks.
Mr. Speaker. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, in addition, this relates to the state chartered savings and loan associations. The federally chartered savings and loan associations, I think, either have this power now or are just about to get it under a parallel change in federal law. So if we do not pass this law, then it will mean that state chartering savings and loan associations will be the only ones who will not be able to do this and be able to compete with the other similar financial institutions.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I had a question. Why is it that savings and loan associations ever were precluded from being able to do this sort of business? Doesn't make any sense, but and I think it's a good deal that we're probably changing it the other way, but I'm curious as to why they were ever precluded in the first place.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I think if I remember correctly that it was only in the previous legislature that we ever permitted state chartered savings and loans. I believe that bill was in, if I remember correctly, in the previous legislature, and I think that was one of the things that just didn't happen at the time we passed the enabling legislation.
Question for the House is the final passage, Senate Bill number 367. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
35 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 367 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 367, amended House, be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 377, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to transportation safety. The Committee on State Affairs has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 377 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 377 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Fuller, Chairman, concurred in by Fuller, Eliason, Parker, Metcalf, and Martin. The Committee on Rules has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 377 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 377 Rules and recommends that it do pass with amendment. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Anderson, Miller, Hayes, and Phillips. Brown signed no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Rules Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 377 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is no objection. The Rules Committee Substitute will be adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Amendment number one by the Rules Committee. Page 2, line 17. After the word House, add designated by joint agreement of the presiding officers.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? There's no objection. Rules Committee amendment is adopted. Are there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 377, amended House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 377 will be advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 377 Rules, amended by the House by the Rules Committee, an act relating to transportation safety, relating to civil liability for voluntary aircraft safety inspections, and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is the final passage of Senate Bill number 377. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
35 yeas, one nay.
Senate Bill 377 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 377 amended House be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call. Final passage will be shown as roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 71 by the Rules Committee by request relating to the installation of a visual approach slope indicator at the airport at Seward, Alaska. The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Joint Resolution 71 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Martin, Fuller, Parker, and Eliason. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution Number 71 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Joint Resolution Number 71 is advanced to third reading. Will the clerk please read the resolution in third reading?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 71 by the Rules Committee by request relating to the installation of a visual approach slope indicator at the airport at Seward, Alaska.
Question. Question for the House. The final passage of Senate Joint Resolution Number 71. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
36 yeas, no nays.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 71 has passed the House. Brings us to the citation on the calendar. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, we're going to hold that for a couple. There's a couple of typos, and we want to add a few things, so we'll just leave it till tomorrow's calendar.
There's no objection. The citation will be held over until tomorrow's calendar. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of Senate Bill 313.
Reconsideration of Senate Bill 313 is before the House. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 313, Rules by the Rules Committee. An act relating to taxes, making miscellaneous amendments to the revenue and tax laws, exempting certain aircraft and motor vehicles from the oil and gas exploration, production, and pipeline transportation property tax, and providing for the return of taxes collected on aircraft and motor vehicles exempted by this act and providing for an effective date. We are in third reading, and I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of a specific amendment.
There is objection. Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number 5 by Rogers. It starts page 3, line 16. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday there was some discussion, quite a bit of discussion about this section. One of the problems with the section is the language that the return made by the department is prima facie sufficient for all legal purposes. And it was some question raised as to how far that extended and whether if later on the taxpayer did file information, whether or not that would be considered in the rebuttal. Each member has on their desk a letter from the Commissioner of Revenue who does recommend this amendment. It does restrict the effect, I think, of this section fairly substantially, and it is acceptable to revenue, and I think it's far superior to the existing language.
Is there further debate? Question for the House, the motion to return to second reading for purposes of specific amendment number 5. Members may, Representative Hayes.
Speaker, I remove my objection.
Objection has been removed. Is there further objection? There's no further objection. We're in second reading. Will clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 5 by Mr. Rogers. It starts page 3, line 16. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Rogers.
I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? There's no objection. Amendment number 5 is adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 313, amended House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 313 will be advanced to third reading. Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? There is another amendment on the desk. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 6 by Mr. Randolph. Page 7, lines 15 through 20. Delete all material.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd move that we return to second reading for purpose of specific amendment.
There is objection. Representative Randolph.
Okay, Mr. Speaker. This is one of the worst pieces of legislation we've had before us all year. And this is probably, without question, one of the most obnoxious parts of it. I'm just going to take time, I think, to read the section because what it does is says if a person owes taxes or license fees or whatever, his ability to earn a living can be taken away from him. Given the fact that practically everything you can do in this state requires a license anymore, anything you do to earn a living, or most anything else, requires a license. It says, in addition to the other penalties imposed in this title, if a person who is authorized to conduct a business by a license issued under the laws of the state fails to pay tax levied under this title, the license of the person is suspended until the tax imposed in this title, until the tax imposed by this title, together with the interest and penalties, is paid in full. I think that's an extremely onerous provision and ought to be removed.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, would you have the amendment read again, please?
Clerk, please read the amendment again.
Amendment number 6 by Mr. Randolph. Page 7, lines 15 through 20. Delete all material.
Question before the House is the motion to return to second reading for purpose of specific amendment. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Brown? Are there other members? Clerk may take final roll.
20 yeas, 17 nays.
Motion to return second reading has failed. Question before the House is the final passage of Senate Bill number 313 on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Parr. Clerk may take final roll.
32 yeas, 5 nays.
Senate Bill 313 has passed the House on reconsideration. Before we continue,
Mr.
with
Speaker,
unfinished business.
There is an effective date clause.
Oh, Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 313, rules amended in the House, be considered as a roll call for the several effective date clauses.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as roll call in the several effective date clause. Before we go to unfinished business, I'd like to revert to messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the President has discharged the Senate conferees from the Free Conference Committee considering Second Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 84 amended relating to pipeline tariffs and House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 84 oil and gas leases. The committee could not reach an agreement and requested to be discharged. A second free conference committee consisting of the following members has been appointed by the President to consider the above bills. Senator Coletta, Chairman, Senator Tillian, Senator Stimson. The Senate has failed to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill number 374 amended, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Public Safety, Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection for marine enforcement effective date. Namely, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 374 amended House, establishing a reserve for operating expenses of state government for use only in a specified emergency effective date, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendments. In the event the House fails to recede, the President has appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House: Senator Ferguson, Chairman, Senator Curtula, Senator Hackney. The Senate has failed to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill No. 375, Supplemental Appropriation to the Department of Public Safety, Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection effective date, namely, House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 375, making a special appropriation to the Department of Revenue for the Reserve for Emergency Operating Expenses account effective date, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendments. In the event the House fails to recede, the President has appointed the following members to a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House: Senator Ferguson, Chairman, Senator Curtula, Senator Hackney. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
We're back under unfinished business. Representative McKinnon, do you have a recommendation for the House on Senate Bill 84?
Well, the message from the Senate does indicate the situation. There is a deadlock, and we simply couldn't reach an agreement on the bill.
This time I'd like to appoint the House members to the Second Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 84, Representative Cotton, Chairman, Representative Rogers, and Representative Halford. Under unfinished business, Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take up the reconsideration of Senate Bill 111 at this time.
Reconsideration of Senate Bill 111 is before the House. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Senate Bill Number 111, amended by the House by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to life insurance policy loans. We are in third reading, and I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Halford.
I move we return to second reading for purposes of specific amendment.
There is objection, Representative Halford.
Would the clerk read the amendment?
Amendment Number 2 by Halford and Brown, page 1, amendment to amendment number 1, page 1, lines 16 through 21. Delete words "in direct relationship to the increased earnings," change comma after "both" to period.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had a copy of yesterday's amendment passed out again just in case people had lost it from their desks or thrown it away after it was dealt with. What this amendment does is it takes out the portion
Mr. Speaker. Representative Brown.
I think maybe the member wants to make a motion.
I move.
The member already made the motion. The motion was to return to second reading for purposes of specific amendment. Representative Halford.
The amendment deletes the requirement for a direct relationship from the increased earnings to the change in interest rate. We heard yesterday that the state really isn't capable without an increased fiscal note of making those determinations. The companies also aren't capable because they don't know how many people are going to borrow on the policies. They don't have the information to deal in individual policies. But what they do is their policies that are written on a 6% versus an 8% rate return a substantially different dividend. Because this legislation, as it's gone through other states, doesn't affect existing policies but only new policies, there are a number of states where they're issuing policies with 6% loan rates written in the policy or 8% loan rates written in the policy. The difference in a $20,000 policy on an average of all the companies is about $250 in increased dividends on the 8% policies. The dividends, what happens is they go back into the actual payments in insurance dividends. You usually get them in a lower payment for your insurance year by year. Final thing I wanted to point out is just, again, as I'd said yesterday, who borrows on their policies. I had passed out a sheet which included major companies and the size of the policies related to the amount of cash value and the borrowers. The borrowers are the large policy holders. They're the people that are informed to deal with it. They know they have quite a bit of equity there. They do borrow on their policies in substantial amounts. And the low rate is subsidizing these borrowers, and it's subsidizing them with the money of the smaller policy holders in the higher or in the lower dividend passed on through their yearly payment. I ask adoption of the amendment. Or I ask return to second reading.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I'm a co-sponsor of the amendment. I support it. Mr. Speaker, the language that the amendment seeks to delete relates to a rather complex exercise. The plain meaning of that language is that there has to be actually a mathematical function carried out, something that is a specific application of the actuarial trade, and there's indications that this information will not even be available. This takes us really back 2 days when I was saying I supported the first half of Mr. Malone's amendment, and I had some question about the second half. I think that this really leaves part of what was then considered the second half in, but gets away from this test, which will then put the Division of Insurance in an impossible situation because they can't go through this mathematical jump unless they have resources that they do not have with regard to making the decision based on purely a rather complex mathematical exercise using the trade of the actuary. So I urge us to go back to second reading.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think that the members are generally familiar with the sets of questions that are involved here in the previous arguments. I think there is, though, a valid question outstanding, and that is how much burden would the amendment to the bill, if retained in its form originally adopted by the House, place on the Division of Insurance or the insurance companies, or the practicality of the effort to increase the interest rates on life insurance policy loans. But, Mr. Speaker, there are at least two states that have similar language in their laws. The state of Maryland has nearly identical language. The state of Montana has language that's somewhat stronger. And Mr. Speaker, this whole amendment has come up during a relatively long weekend. I haven't had an opportunity to talk to the commissioners of insurance in those states to see whether they think there really is any practical problem with this and how they go about it. And today we're still on Memorial Day. I'd like the opportunity to get that information and place it in front of the body so that they would have a little bit more than basically the statement of the insurance industry, which I think is what the basis of the arguments made today is, or it is the basis of the arguments made today. Because of that, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we postpone consideration of this motion until the end of tomorrow's calendar.
Is there objection to the motion? There's no objection. Consideration of the bill and the amendment will be postponed until the end of tomorrow's calendar. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that my reconsideration of House Bill 968 be taken up this time.
Is there objection? If there's no objection, reconsideration of House Bill 968 will be taken up at this time. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the in order to adopt the Hess Committee substitute.
There is objection. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, there is on a member's desk an amendment to the which would be to the Hess Committee substitute if we adopt that, and I don't want to extend my latitude, take too much advantage of latitude on discussion here, but Mr. Speaker, we went through that bill mighty doggone fast, a bill dealing with the most economically deprived citizens of our state, and we didn't spend nearly the time on that we did on the on bills that have helped people who are a lot better shape than they are. I would like to go back and reconsider and take another look at the Hess Committee substitute with the amendment. I'd ask the body to vote to approve the return to second reading.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Bill number 968 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act adding a cost of living adjustment to maximum benefits paid as aid to families with dependent children and providing for an effective date.
The motion before the body is a motion to return to second reading for purposes of specific amendments, specific amendment being the Hess Committee substitute. Representative Freeman. House, please stand at ease. Debate. Is there debate on the motion? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
24 yeas, 6 nays.
We are in second reading. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, would you prefer that I ask that we rescind our action in failing to adopt Hess Committee substitute? It was not. No, that motion was withdrawn, wasn't it?
Motion was withdrawn. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the body adopt Hess Committee substitute in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the problem with the Hess Committee substitute, as we'd heard, was it didn't take care of one section, which would have meant that children who were with non-needy relatives would have been discriminated against, and therefore we would have lost the federal funds. Members do have on their desk a proposed amendment which would take care of that problem. And then the only question, I guess, would be whether the fiscal note is such that the governor might veto the bill. That's my understanding, and if anybody has better information, correct me on it. Mr. Speaker, I really find it very difficult to understand that this body or the governor would really balk at what is a relatively small amount of money for people in our state who need it worst, when we have gone spreading hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars around to people who don't need it nearly as badly. Now, this state has gotten some windfall oil profits, if you want to call it that, and we have seen fit to try to distribute some of that money to people in various ways. We cut off the income tax. We're distributing some of the permanent fund dividends. We've got a great big capital project bill to get jobs out for people. We're right now trying to get out several hundred million dollars of loans. And then we are going to struggle and strain and scream and squawk and maybe back off because of a few million dollars for the people who absolutely can't help themselves. It's inconceivable, Mr. Speaker, that this body would do that, and it's inconceivable to me that if we did it, that we passed it, that the governor would veto it. I would ask the members to adopt the committee substitute and then to approve the amendment to it, and let's get the bill out of here.
Question for the body is a motion to adopt the Hess Committee substitute. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
23 yeas, 8 nays.
The Hess Committee substitute has been adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 968 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
It is necessary to return to third reading in reconsideration, and if there are further amendments, we'll have to return for the other amendments. Is there objection to the motion to advance? There's no objection. House Bill 968 is advanced to third reading. Are there further amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I should read it the third time.
Will clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 968 by the Hess Committee. An act relating to maximum benefits paid as aid to families with dependent children and providing for an effective date. I have a proposed amendment number 1 on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purposes of the specific amendment number 1.
There is objection. Will clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Rogers. It starts page 1, line 10. It has been placed on each member's desk, right?
Representative, is there further debate on the amendment? Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's really humiliating for me to have to ask this body to support a program that will help a lot of people. When we have programs here that we pass, and Representative Parr already mentioned many of those that have come before us, and I think that this body should consider this. It's a very small item in the line that we have been considering bills left and right, and I think it's only fair that we should accept this committee amendment, and I hope that this body is going to be generous.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to be labeled as one that doesn't care for the poor or help the poor. You know, when I was young, I was helped very much. But what worries me about this one here is the non-needy. We can help the poor. We can help them find jobs. We can help them while they're out of work and so on. And certainly they want to help themselves. That's the most important thing that we have yet to address last year or this year, is trying to make more jobs available so people can help themselves. Now, this phrase we put in this here is the non-needy and relatives. Now, we always know that grandparents would help their grandchildren for a while their children get out of their problems or find work or do whatever is necessary to reestablish themselves. We know that aunts and uncles have traditionally taken in children when tragedies have happened to their brothers or sisters and things like that. And I really need an education. Perhaps someone can help me to say why we should give more money to non-needy people. Perhaps they don't even want it. A lot of people in this state want government out of their business. I can see eventually where an aunt and uncle will be willing to help their brothers and sisters' children. Suddenly here comes a social worker knocking on the door and saying, well, you need to take this, you need that. So what I'm asking for is perhaps an education. How are we going to help the non-needy?
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment takes care of the conformity problem that was discussed earlier in the day. The cost of not adopting this amendment is approximately $18 million. The cost of adopting it is less than $1 million. So the difference between adopting and not adopting it is $17 million. As I mentioned, the first time this bill was up, the Hess Committee substitute is not in conformity with federal law. This amendment brings it into conformance with the federal law. I'd urge the body to return to second reading for the purposes of adopting this amendment.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One of the problems that we have is the discrimination between helping people who are deemed needy, and what we're talking about here with non-needy is the fact that that they should have the same amount of money applied to help raise this child that is not their own. And actually, if you look at the amount of money, we're not talking about the amount of money that it would actually take to raise a child. At least it took a lot more than that in my family. I wanted to bring to the attention of the body exactly what we're talking about. For instance, for a parent and one child under 18, a maximum of $450 a month is what this bill would ask for. If the bill isn't passed, these people will try to live this next year again on $350 a month. In Anchorage, I don't even know how they pay rent.
Question for the House is the motion to return to second reading for purposes of specific amendment. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
28 yeas, 5 nays.
We are in second reading. Representative Rogers.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? If there's no objection, amendment is adopted.
Is that amendment number two?
It's amendment number one.
That's amendment number one. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill number 968, amended House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Bill 968 will be advanced third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 968, amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to maximum benefits paid as aid to families with dependent children and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is final passage of House Bill number 968. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
28 yeas, 4 nays.
House Bill 968 has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of committee substitute for House Bill number 968, amended House, be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, roll call on final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. We are under unfinished business. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, there are two bills that were just read across the desk a short time ago. There are Senate Bill 374 and Senate Bill 375. I don't think members of the body have these in their limbo files, unless they kept them there from earlier or kept the bills on their desk. But the House has failed to concur in House amendments to Senate Bill 374, which we amended by establishing a reserve for operating expenses for state government use. And we do have to get into free conference with that bill. And the same for Senate Bill 375. We amended Senate Bill 375 by making a special appropriation to the Department of Revenue for the reserve for emergency operating expense account. If members are requiring copies of those bills, we could move to other business, but at this time I'd like to move that we recede unless members object.
The Senate, these are the bills that we amended on the rainy day account. The Senate has failed to concur in our amendments and has sent appointed a free conference committee. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, at this time I move that the House recede from its amendment, the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 374, amended House, thus adopting Senate Bill 374, amended. I ask members to vote no.
Question for the House is the motion to recede from the Senate amendment, the House amendment, Senate Bill 374. Will clerk please read the bill by title?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 374, amended House by the Finance Committee. An act establishing a reserve for operating expenses of state government for use only in a specified emergency and providing for an effective date.
Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
No yeas, 33 nays.
The House has failed to recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 374. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, on Senate Bill 375, I move that the House recede from its amendment, House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 375, thus adopting Senate Bill 375, and I ask members to vote no.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 375 by the Finance Committee. An act making a special appropriation to the Department of Revenue for the Reserve for Emergency Operating Expenses account and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is the motion to recede from the House amendments to Senate Bill 375. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
No yeas, 34 nays.
House has failed to recede from its amendments, Senate Bill 375. House, please stand at ease. Come back to order. On the two bills that we just sent to the Free Conference Committee, Senate Bill 374 and Senate Bill 375. I'd like to appoint a Free Conference Committee, Representative Smith, Chairperson, Representative Miller, and Representative Chatterton. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business, we have House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 315, rules amended in the House. The Senate has asked us to recede from our amendment. And so this bill has to go to Free Conference as well. At this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recede from its amendment. House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 315, rules amended House, thus adopting Senate Bill 315, and I ask members to vote no.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 315, rules amended House by the Rules Committee, an act relating to the investment of state funds and providing for an effective date.
Question for the House is a motion to recede from the House amendments to Senate Bill 315. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
No yeas, 33 nays.
House has failed to recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 315. This time I'd like to appoint a Free Conference Committee to Senate Bill 315. Representative Gardner, Chairman, Representative Malone, and Representative Branson. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, we have another bill that I've checked with the prime sponsor, House Concurrent Resolution Number 40. There's minor adjustments made by the other body, and I've been told that they are not objectionable changes. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to could we have a brief at East
Bank? House, please, Senate East.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
I move that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution Number 40, thus adopting House Concurrent Resolution Number 40, amended Senate. Ask members to vote yes.
Motion. Will the clerk please read the resolution by title?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 40, amended Senate, by Freeman, Parr, Barnes, Phillips, and Rogers, relating to Alaska's right under the Statehood Act to land promised by the Act.
Question for the House is the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution Number 40. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll. Oops.
33 yeas, no nays.
The House has concurred in the Senate amendments, House Concurrent Resolution Number 40. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, House Concurrent Resolution Number 69. I've checked with the prime sponsor, and he states that the amendments made are not objectionable. So at this time, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution Number 69, thus adopting House Concurrent Resolution Number 69, amended Senate. I ask members to vote yes.
Clerk, please read the resolution by title.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 69, amended Senate by the Resources Committee, requesting the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission to investigate the possibility of creating a separate administrative area for the Aleutian Islands, and requesting the Department of Fish and Game to provide the legislature with data and statistics relating to salmon harvests in the Aleutian Islands.
Question for the House is a motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution Number 69. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, Representative Metcalf? clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
28 yeas, 5 nays.
House has concurred in the Senate amendments, House Concurrent Resolution 69. Representative, we'll avoid that roll call. Question before the House is the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution number 69. Yeah. Members may proceed to vote. Representative O'Connell, has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
28 yeas, 5 nays.
House has concurred in the Senate amendments to House Concurrent Resolution number 69. Representative Halpern, House Police Entities.
Mr. Speaker, another bill that has come across from the other bodies, House Bill number 1005, amended, and they've asked us to concur with their amendments, and I have spoken to several members. They find no objection to the change, which is, I think, on page 3. They deleted some language on line 20 and 21, and that has been found to be okay. So at this time, I move the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill number 1005, thus adopting House Bill number 1005, amended Senate. Ask members to vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
House Bill 1005, amended Senate by the Commerce Committee. An act continuing the existence of the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors and amending the statutes relating to its powers and responsibilities and providing for an effective date.
Question before the House is the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 1005. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
32 yeas, 1 nay.
The House has concurred in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 1005. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Bill number 1005, amended Senate, be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call and final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the final bill today is committee substitute for House Bill number 118, amended Senate. We've been asked to concur with their amendments, and I've been told by members who are interested in this piece of legislation that the amendments made are not objectionable. So at this time, I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill number 118. Thus adopting committee substitute for House Bill number 118, amended Senate. Ask members to vote yes.
Is that the correct number, 118, or?
No.
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, the chief clerk did make a note this morning that they had sent over a bill in their message that was Senate Bill 188. She corrected that, and would like to point that out, that the reference to 188 is really committee substitute for House Bill number 118.
Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 118, amended Senate by the Resources Committee. An act relating to rivers, lakes, streams, and other bodies of water in the state and providing for an effective date.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask the clerk for the page number in the journal. Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question before the House is the motion to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 118. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
26 yeas, 7 nays.
The House has concurred in the Senate amendments to House Bill 118. Representative Anderson.
Speaker, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause for committee substitute for Senate for House Bill number 118, amended Senate.
Question before the House is the effective date clause on House Bill 118. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
32 yeas, 1 nay.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Are there other items unfinished business to come before the House? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The printed committee schedule on the back of your scheduled day is a little bit incorrect. We will have Senate Bill 136, the Plumbing Code, and Senate Bill 277, amending the Alaska Statutes. That's a revisor's bill, only those two. The revisor's bill contains about 65 sections, and it's going to take quite a while to go through it.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Free Conference Committee on House Bill 782, dealing with local service roads and trails program, is scheduled to meet at 4 p.m. today at Senator Curtulo's office.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 1 hopefully is going to meet sometime today, and we'll post it on the board as soon as the exact time is known. Also, the Free Conference Committee on Senate Bill 84, dealing with unitization, pipeline tariffs, and leases, will attempt to meet today. And again, I'll post a time on the bulletin board, and my office will be able to tell anybody that's interested if they'd call probably by 1 o'clock. Mr. Speaker, can we have it at ease, please?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Are there further announcements of committee meetings? Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, Finance Committee will meet at 1:30 to consider Senate Bill 223 relating to homestead entry, and we will continue consideration of Senate Bill 509, telecommunications.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, hopefully the Commerce Committee will have no need for another meeting this year, but we are reviewing the bills that have been in the committee and outstanding committee substitutes, so the members should be warned that if we find something's falling between the cracks, there may be a meeting on short notice sometime in the next few days.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaker, at 1:30 this afternoon, we are going to be having a HES committee meeting. It will be a very quick one. I hope the members will be there on time so we can get out in 10 minutes or less. It will be Senate Bill 32, compact for corrections. Mr. Speaker, may I amend that? 1 o'clock. My members wants to request.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, not a committee meeting, but just a reminder to the group that the governor's prayer breakfast will be tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. I'm not sure whether there's anybody up in the governor's office right now where they're selling tickets, but tickets will be on sale at the door tomorrow morning if you don't have yours yet, although I would suggest anybody that doesn't have them try to get there before 7 a.m. Early and so that they can get them, because I think there'll be a lot of interest in that. Senator Hughes is, as I've indicated before, a very dynamic speaker and a very large figure on the national scene, and I think it'd be well worthwhile for all of us to hear his remarks.
There, Representative Anderson.
Under announcements, Mr. Speaker, I'd really appreciate it if members who have an interest in the bills that are in the limbo file to contact me or my staff at room 216. And also, again, to request that bills that are sitting on your desk that we've taken action on, that we've reconsidered, appreciate it if you just keep the bills on your desk, because it would help the staff to remake the next day's calendar, especially if those bills are reconsidered.
Further announcements? Special orders? Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to speak very briefly on D2?
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I have a letter here that I'm sending to U.S. Senators. 2 years ago, I sent a letter to each U.S. Senator trying to present what I considered a reasonable position on D2 and asking them to consider our problems here in the state. And I did get some answers from that that weren't all form letters, interestingly. And so I thought it's time to do that again. We all know that bill's coming up in July. And I don't know if other members might want to do something similar to write the senators, and obviously I'm not suggesting what anyone might want to say. I can only say that in my case, that the final letter of, final sentence of my letter says, I respectfully suggest that the Senate not approve either S-9 or its counterpart, H.R. 39.
Further special orders. Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, on the same subject, knowing that that bill's coming up, as most of you know, I sent out a letter to all the representatives in the United States some time ago at the state level, and I have just sent another very similar letter to over 6,000 local officials at the local level in cooperation with the D2 office in Anchorage with their assistance. And it went out, and the last one went out just a few days ago, and it presumably will have a substantial impact as well. Considering the impact the last one had, the D2 office thought it was a great idea, and they assisted in the additional letter as well.
There are further special orders. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.